Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today and first Sunday of the new year. And so we are glad to be able to be out and about. And even though we've got that snow, yeah, Carolyn's all excited. You don't even get to miss school because of it now. But anyway. What's that? Yeah, we hope. Anyway, good to have you all here. We are just picking up on our Preach It series for the month of January. Some random texts that we're going to be speaking on. But hopefully, as we begin this new year, and we have this opportunity to share in God's Word. I always try to coin at least a little phrase in my mind for each year. And so I've kind of tried to go with to love Jesus more in 2024. So every time you write a check, and I know some of them are like, checks, what's that? Okay, when you fill out the date and you put in the 24, you can always think. Love Jesus more in 2024, because no matter if you're a new Christian or you've been a Christian for 100 years, that's just something good to do. Love Jesus more. Love Jesus more. We will be eventually into Luke chapter 7, verses 24 through 28, but I want to give you a little bit of a background on it. To give the setting for this, for what is taking place, John sends two of his disciples to Jesus. The two disciples ask Jesus, "Are you the expected one? Or are we to look for someone else?" And at this time, he was curing many diseases, afflictions, and evil spirits. He'd given sight to the blind. He answered them and said to them, "Go and report to John what you have seen and heard." So what have they seen and what have they heard? Blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, dead are raised up, poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who does not take offense to me. And do you find that interesting that this is what Jesus is telling those two disciples to go back and tell John? And he says, you know, and remind John that blessed is the one who doesn't take offense to me. Even John was wanting to know and make sure, as he was preparing the way, he wanted to make sure that this is the one. This is the expected one. And I think Jesus was saying, blessed is he who does not take offense at me, because if Jesus was not the Messiah, I think John would have had something to say about it. Just the way John was. But I guess in our life, so do we get upset? Now imagine this, you know, this is John talking to Jesus and Jesus talking to John. Do we get upset when someone opens up God's Word and they don't translate it or share it the way that we think that it should be? Right? I'll just say this. If you have been able to become a Christian and have never changed your thoughts of the Bible, I need to shake your hand. You know why that is? Is because nobody, including the guy on the stage or in the audience, has it all figured out. And so there is nobody that can say on any given time, I know everything there is to know about that, and I don't need to learn any more about it. And for us to have that attitude, Jesus is suggesting, don't get upset if somebody teaches something foreign to you. Check it out. I learn more that way on things that I need to change in my life, and you would too, by checking and learning and seeing, because I'll just be honest with you, I don't understand all the scripture the same way that I used to. And if you've been a Christian for any time at all and you still see it the same way, then there is no growth there. Don't hold that as a badge of honor. I believe today the exact same thing I believed 50 years ago. Shame on you as a Christian. Because nobody's got it figured out, and everybody's got room for improvement, and we can all do better at loving Him more in 2024. You're supposed to follow along with that. Come on, we're trying to get it in there. All right, anyway, we need to use God's Word to change our way of thinking. We don't change Him. We don't change the Bible to fit our ideas. We use that to change us. Now, we're at Luke chapter 7, verses 24 through 28. And I did want to make sure. Give me a click. Make sure. Okay, it looks good up there. I wasn't sure how it was going to look with white on gray, but it looks all right. All right, so Luke chapter 7, verses 24 through 28. When the messengers of John had left, that was those two men, he began to speak to the crowds about John. This is Jesus speaking to the crowd that is gathered around him about John. These were, some commentaries here said, these were the common people. Okay, these weren't the Pharisees that were out there at this time talking to them. It wasn't the scribes. It wasn't the lawyers. This was the common people, the dregs of society, the tax collectors, the widows, the orphans, the ragamuffins that nobody wanted. And you know what? That is a great look at what we are today. Amen? Because we don't have it figured out. We are here this morning because we realize we need a Savior. Amen? We realize this morning that we are messed up, that we need to be put back together, that we are broken. And we need, as these people were, to be exactly where you need to be. You know what? You're here today because you need to be here. I'm here today because I need to be here. We need to be here to learn more about Jesus and what He would teach. Going on, and He asks a series of questions here, but there's three of the questions that start off each series of the questions that are going to be the overwhelming theme for our message this morning. So what did you go out to the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who are splendidly clothed and live in luxury are found in royal palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, "Behold, I send a messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. And I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Jesus starts off with his questioning, answering questions with a question. Jesus is notorious for that. And so the first question is, so what did you go out into the wilderness to see? What did you go out to the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? He tries to give them an answer. A reed shaken by the wind? He gives them the answer. He gives them no time to answer. He says, so what did you go out of the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? He gives them no time to answer. This answer would not be sufficient. No one wants to listen to someone who is spineless, weak-minded, and short-sighted. John was none of these. Neither was Jesus. definitely none of the apostles, and messengers of the Lord today need not to be either. Do we remember when we talk about John the Immerser, when he first comes on the scene, everyone thinks he is who? Elijah. Elijah, that he comes in the spirit of Elijah. Right? And so, Elijah, the forerunner of John the Immerser, absolutely gave no ground to worshipers of false doctrines either, did he? Those of that worship the Baals, those that worship Asherah. He slaughtered 850 false prophets in one day. Right? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 40 says, "Then Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape.' So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there." If you go into the text, you'll see that it was 450 Baals and 400 of Asherah. I'm just letting you know, this isn't done by somebody who is spineless and weak, but just the opposite. How would you like it if today those who disagreed or were indifferent met the same fate as him? You'd be trying to line your life up with the preaching of John here real quick, wouldn't you? Or with what Jesus would say, what the apostles would say. This does not make someone hateful or a bigot. It proves their faithfulness to God. That no matter who is in attendance, they are going to preach the message of repentance. Why is that? Because even if you are a Christian, as we've all said, you still don't have it all figured out. We still mess up. Right? Even those that became a Christian in 2023, you know what? They've sinned since they came out of the watery grave of baptism. You know what? And so have you. And so have I. And that's why repentance is needed. That's what John was preaching, was repentance. Why? For the kingdom was at hand. It was near. That was the coming of the church. You know, there's so many that like to say there are two different gods in the Bible. There's the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament. Well, I'm here to let you know that the God of the law is the same God of love and mercy in the New Testament. The one who gave us the Ten Commandments at Sinai was the same one who gave us the ultimate sacrifice on Calvary. As a matter of fact, if we'd understand the law better, I think we would appreciate the New Testament better. So what did you go out to the wilderness to see? We asked that for this morning. Why are you here? Okay, I don't want you to answer this to me, but I want you to answer this to yourself. Why are you here? Mom and Dad drug me in this morning, right? Oh, my wife, she tells me I need to be here every Sunday. Is that why you're here? And so we ask, what did you come out to see? Jesus goes on to answer that in the second question. His second question in this series of questions that we said point out the different points was the same question as the first one. What did you come out to see here in the wilderness? So what did you come out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Not all of us can look like Isaiah Pope. Looking good, buddy. Looking good. Right? Those who are splendidly clothed and live in luxury are found in royal palaces. But again, John was anything but soft. Right? Matter of fact, he dressed a lot like Elijah. Right? He wore camel's hair. Is anyone wearing camel's hair this morning? Right? Leather belts. I got one of those. He ate locusts. This is bugs. Right? Now we got little kids that eat bugs. I've even seen some adults eat bugs. He ate locusts and he ate honey. But get this, not just any kind of honey. He ate wild honey. This is like the craziest of all honeys. Okay? And those in the crowd that are here listening to him speak, you know, they should have been in attendance on the Sermon on the Mount. Because then they would have heard him say something like this. Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 through 29. And why are you worried about clothing? What did he say? What are you out here to see? Somebody dressed in soft clothes? Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory himself was arrayed like one of these. So I'll have to ask you this morning again, did you come out to see the tuxedo? Did you come out to see the ripped jeans and the untucked shirt? Did you come out to see the tattoos? You're all looking, right? Did you come out not to see the tattoos? Did you come out to see the crowd? Looking good, Isaac. Did you come out to see who was not here? You know, it's not about the clothing of yourself in fine linens or beautiful colors. What Jesus wants for them to understand, and he wants for you to understand this morning, it's about clothing yourself in Jesus Christ. Amen? So how do we do that? How do we clothe ourselves in Jesus Christ? It's about dying to the things of the world and living for Jesus. So what did you come out to see? Something that you could talk about for the rest of the week, or something that would change your life forever? What did you come out to see? Many times you'll hear maybe people go on rants and raves and say, the church ought to be like this, or Christians ought to act like that. Just because you have a problem with that in your life doesn't mean that the rest of the Christian world does. Right? We can always find things that are wrong, and then we like, well, we'll say something about this, and we'll say something about that. And the church ought to be like this, and the church ought to be like that. Well, you know what? Get out of your own little box. Maybe the church is like that, and you're not being a part of the church as you should. Change your way of thinking to align with God's word. Remember, just because you may have lost sight on why you've come out here to hear the message of Christ doesn't mean that everyone else around you has. You're here for whatever reason you're here for. And I can't even begin to try to guess what everybody's reason is. But I pray that you're here because it's about Jesus. Number three, the question's going to sound familiar, okay? Because we've talked about it two other times now. So here's the third question. But what did you come out to see? Now, those of us that had parents growing up, everybody here? Yeah, I think that's everybody. Okay, so anybody had parents growing up knows that by the time mom or dad has to say something one time, two times, three times, it's serious. Okay, so Jesus said now for the third time, but what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. That's what they went out to see. And he answers the question for them. Why? Because who did they think it was? They thought it was Elijah. They went out to see a prophet. And I say to you that he is one and he is more than a prophet. Now, we got to understand that a prophet is someone who takes God's word and expounds that and shares it with the people. Okay? Now, that can also mean special revelation and sharing of what God's will is for their life, for the people's lives. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 says, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And this is where Jesus, remember, Jesus come preaching the same message that John the Immerser was preaching, right? Jesus' first message was the same topic that John preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. What does that mean? A change of mind that produces a change of action. That means you don't have it all figured out. That means you don't have it all figured out. That means you don't have it all figured out. That means I don't have it all figured out. I need to repent. I need to continually change my way of thinking. Read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So that I align my way of thinking with the Lord's way of thinking. Isaiah even tells us the same thing. It's not about what I think. You know what I think? No, and I don't care what you think. And you feel the same way about me. What does God's word say? God's word says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The church. He says the church is coming. The church. John says the church is coming. Jesus says the church is coming. On the day of Pentecost, Peter gets up and preaches, the church is here. The church is here. And what shall we do then that now the church is here? Oh my goodness, Peter preached the same thing that Jesus preached, the same thing that John preached, repent. And he tells him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. John was a prophet, greatest among men, but stood no comparison to those, us. What Jesus says is that we are greater than John because we get to be a part of the church. John, unfortunately, his life had ended before that time even began. And he looks at us, and he looks at the newest Christians in the bunch, and he says, you guys got it going on more than John did because you're a part of the church. Then how should that make us, those that have been Christians for some time, realize the responsibility that we have in the presentation of the gospel? John was a prophet, greatest among men. John preached repentance in his day. Jesus preached repentance in his day. And I preach repentance in our day today. This is no special message from a prophet. The message of repentance is actually the message of all of God's prophets. from Noah? Repent. Right? To Moses? Repent. To Isaiah? Repent. Jeremiah? Repent. Amos, Haggai, Malachi, goes on the list. The list goes on. Repent. Elijah, Elisha, repent. They're all saying the same thing. What did you go out to see? What did you go out to hear? Did you come and wanted to have your ears tickled this morning? No, we're going to say repent. And yes, I'm talking to you and me. All that speak on the Lord's behalf. Take a good look at your life for this new year, this new and upcoming year. Repent. We all need it. Repent. We should all do it. Repent. Change to meet the needs of repentance. The requirement of repentance is that you bear fruit worthy of repentance. We can say, I'm sorry all day long, but until we change the way we act, it means nothing. Really? We've all come here this morning for the same reason they went to listen to John. And the same reason they went to listen to Jesus. And the same reason they went to listen to Peter. Is that we all need a Savior. We all need a Savior that will love us where we are. If our life is broken, we need a Savior that will fix it. And He can. May not be the way we want it fixed, but He'll fix it. We may be hurting. He may take care of that hurt. May not be the way we want that hurt taken care of, but He'll take care of the hurt. We may need compassion. Oh, does He have compassion? May not be the way we're looking for it, but He'll give us compassion. I don't know exactly what George's whole class was on, but I heard the last few minutes. We all need forgiveness. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you about somebody who can give us forgiveness. And it all comes in the same person, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We need a Savior that wants for us to change. Well, He's going to meet me where I'm at. That's right. But He doesn't want to keep you there. A Savior that wants for us to change. And how should we change? To be more like Him. So what'd you come out here for? Hopefully you came out here for Jesus and what He means to you and what He means to the change in your life. He's what makes our change in our life tangible, that we are more like Him each and every day so that we can love Him more in 2024. Jason's at least got it. Right? Now somebody will say that to me in 2 weeks from now and I'll be like, what? What are you talking about? No. But I try to think it. You know what I mean? So what'd you come out for this morning? Hopefully it was all about Jesus. As we begin this new year, let's make it all about Jesus. As we live our life, let's make it all about Jesus. We'd see how things would change, not only in our own life, not only in our congregation, not only in the view of our worldview. If we'd change and we'd try to love Jesus and be like Jesus more and more every day. There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scripture that tells us that it starts with our belief in Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Son of the living God. That Jesus is not just a good guy, not just a prophet, but he is the Savior of the world. Are you willing then to repent of your sin? When they were first asked to do what to do on the day of Pentecost, this was the response: repent for your sin, and I'll repent for mine. When we each take care of our own, we'll be far better off than trying to take care of each other's. To confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and then do our best, no matter how hard it is. And it's a struggle at times, but it's a whole lot easier than we sometimes make it out to be. To just be what Jesus wants us to be. Do it with his glory in mind and not our own, and everything changes. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, let today be your day of salvation. Will you stand as they lead us in a song of invitation this morning?